Okay, we continue in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf Aleph. We are in Pasuk Hey. David has run away again, and after Yonasan told him that Shaul really does plan on killing David, and he runs away to the city of Nov, the city of the Kohanim, which is under the guidance of Ahimelech HaKohen. And David comes into the city by himself, and Ahimelech is wondering, why is he coming by himself? He's a famous general. He shouldn't be going by himself. And David says, I have a secret mission from the king. Nobody knows that I'm going. And even the bodyguards I have with me, the other ones, they're in a certain location that I will said I will meet them. But right now I'm very hungry, and I need 5 pieces of bread. So 5 loaves of bread. So can you give me 5 loaves of bread? So we're up to Pasuk Hey. Vayan HaKohen is David. Kohen answers David. Vayomer Ein Lechem Chol El Techas Yadi. There is no mundane bread in my hands right now. In other words, this is a city of Kohanim. This is the city where the Mishkan is right now. This is a holy city. And there, the only bread you'll see in a minute, he says, Ki im lechem kodesh yesh. I only have holy bread. I don't have any regular mundane bread. And there's a whole argument in the commentaries exactly what was the type of holy bread that he had. Some of the Forshim say it was the breads of a Todah offering, of a Thanksgiving offering. But Chazal, most rabbis say, it was the Lechem Haponim. It was the showbreads that were placed every Friday onto the table into the Mishkan, of which there were 12 breads. And they were removed every Friday, and a new group of challahs were put in on Friday to replace them. So he says, I don't have any bread except for the showbreads. I only have holy bread. And holy bread, it's not so simple to give holy bread to regular people. But if you're really that hungry, and it seems that, you know, David was portraying that they were starving. Now, of course, David was not with 4 other people, but he portrayed that way to Ahimelech. I'm sure David himself was very hungry himself. No question about that. So he says, I only have holy bread. And im nishmer hanararim ach me'isha. And if the young men were careful to not be with women in the last few days, so there'd be no seminal emissions, which would give off a tumah, an impurity, so then I could make an exception in this case. Once the breads are removed off the table and certain services were performed, although it's not ideal to give the breads to a non-Kohen, but we could permit it under these circumstances. I'm avoiding all the complicated discussion that the Malbim and all the commentaries discuss, because it's more of a halachic nature, and I'm not interested in focusing on that point right now. So he says, that's the only thing I could offer you. Pasuk Vav. Vayan David es ha-Kohen. And David answered the Kohen. Vayomer lo, and said to him, Kim isha atzura lanu kitmol shalshom. If you talk about women, we've held back from women for the last few days because we've been on been on a mission for the last few days. It's tasty from when we went out. So we're okay in that area. And also vayi klei anarim kodesh, and also the clothing, utensils, whatever we're using we haven't been in combat, we haven't killed anybody, so everything is pure. V'huderech chol v'av keyom yikdash bakeli, and really the food should be treated. Now I guess David is rendering a halachic decision for him and saying, although the food was holy today as it was on in the utensils, but as it's been removed from the table, they don't have the same degree of holiness that would allow regular Jews to eat it. As long as we're in a state of purity. So that's what I was saying. I'm saying halachically, me and my men could eat the bread. Zayin, vayitin lo ha-kohen kodesh. So the kohen gave him from the holy breads. Ki lo ha-yesham lechem, ki im lechem ha-ponim ha-musarim lifnei Hashem. Because he had no other breads except for this lechem haponim, the showbreads that were removed from before Hashem, lasum lechem chom biyom hilacho, in order to give bread, warm bread, on the day it's supposed to be taken away. In other words, that's that procedure. So he had just taken off, again, this is not according to all the commentaries, but it's a simple explanation. So since the showbreads has just been taken away, so now the new ones are being put there. So it would appear that David is coming very close to Shabbos, if not on Shabbos itself, because they're taken off on very close to Shabbos. So, and as you'll see from the story, from other Mefarshim, it could very well this is, you know, either very close to Shabbos or Shabbos. Okay, so that's what he does. All right, so it's very interesting the detail of Lechem Aponim. What do we care to know all the details? Just say he was hungry. He needed some bread, so he gave him some holy bread. So,
you gave him one or five?
Doesn't say. Could be he gave him five. Yes, but it's not important. These are technical details that are of no, you know, major significance for us. But, the question is, you know, why did David ask him for five loaves of bread if maybe that's something much he felt he needed. He needed bread for now and maybe for his trip or whatever. It's questionable exactly why he needed five loaves of bread. There could be all kinds of symbolisms involved. But the point that I'm able to abstract from this is if we're dealing with the showbreads, so when was the last time in the Torah, when was there serious discussion of the showbreads? Okay, the Torah mentions the mitzvah of the showbreads in which parsha?
Just have it.
We didn't just have it. Well,
not in the winter.
No, it's in Parsha's Emor, when you're dealing with the Makala, the guy who cursed out Moshe, cursed out Hashem, rather, cursed out Hashem. If you recall, there was a person who was the son of Shlomis Bas Divri and thought he was of the tribe of Dan. And it really relates to this week's Parsha tangentially. There was a young man who thought he was a regular 100% Jew who was in the tribe of Dan. After last week's Parsha, where Dasan Aviram, they get killed together with Korach and everybody else. So we know that it says that the children went out as well with Korach, Dasan, Viram, and their families, their wives and kids. And the commentaries tell us that, well, the Torah tells us that they all got swallowed up. So something very unusual happened. There's a young man who was, I don't know if it was Dasan or Viram, I can't remember which one, doesn't matter. So one of their kids didn't die. Didn't get swallowed up. So everybody's looking and says, what's going on over here? What's going on over here? So the truth of the story began to emerge that this young man was not the son of Dasan. So where did he come from? So if you recall, many moons ago, in Parsha Shmos, when Moshe saw an Egyptian beating up on a Jew, and Moshe went and killed the Egyptian and saved the Jew, what was the story behind that? The Egyptian was trying to kill this Jew because this Jew was the husband of Shlomis, and Shlomis was a forward woman, very friendly woman, would talk to people, would go out and talk to people, and caught the attention of one of the Egyptian taskmasters who took an eye for her. And one day the taskmaster decides to kind of push her husband out of the house early. And then the taskmaster comes back into the home under the guise of being her husband and has relations with her. And the husband came back, whatever, and found out what was going on over here. The Egyptian realized that the Jew had realized that, so the Egyptian wanted to kill the Jew. So now that Egyptian who wanted to kill that Jew, so Moshe killed that Egyptian. Now, the next day, the two Jews are fighting, and who are those two Jews? It's Dasan and Aviram, Rashi tells us. And they said, oh, you're going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian taskmaster? So that's Dasan and Aviram, who Moshe saved. Okay? Moshe saved from the hand of the Egyptian taskmaster, number one, you see how terrible they are. Moshe saved one of their lives. And now that he's telling them to stop fighting, they go and tell on Paro. And then Moshe has to run away because of that. Be that as it may, Shlomis had a child from that one meeting with this Egyptian fellow. So nobody would be the wiser. And Dasan, or Ephraim, would raise this child like his own. So everybody thought this was a Jewish child. Get with me, following the story. So that's how it went for a number of years. This is the beginning of the story. So, and Moshe ran away for many, many years after that story. It's different opinions of Chazal. How many years are it? Could be he ran away for like 60 years. So nobody knows the wiser. So all these years later pass. Jewish people leave Mitzrayim. Dasan and Aviram get swallowed up. And this kid doesn't, not a kid, he's an old man. He doesn't get swallowed up. So they begin to figure out, and they check it out, and they realize that this was the story. Anyway, so what happens? So he gets very upset. So Rashi over there discusses the issue, who this fellow was. Rashi mentions, and therefore what got him upset was a number of things, but the primary thing that got him upset was he thought he was a member of the tribe of Dan, and therefore would be allocated a tribal portion. And then what happens? He's upset. He now is told that he's not a member of the tribe of Dan, because really it goes after the father, and his father was an Egyptian. And the mother, you know, tough luck. So he really has no tribal portion. And more than that, he finds out a whole number of things. He realizes what his past is all about. So, to put it mildly, and there's a whole piece from one of the Hasidic Sfarim that goes into a whole issue discussing all the issues that he had. But he had a tremendous amount of problems, realizing that your father is not Jewish and he doesn't have a tribal portion, and etc. etc. So they go to the Beis Din, and Moshe Paskins in the Beis Din that you're right, you're not going to get a tribal portion. At that point, he now has a bone to pick with God. And therefore, the Torah portion right before that portion is the portion of the lechem aponim, the showbreads. So then he starts just asking, "What's with the showbreads?" And he says, "Well, the showbreads. They're trying to learn about the mitzvah showbreads." He says, "Well, we put 12 challahs out, we put them on the mizbeach, and then we let them sit for a week, and then they're used in the divine service." So he starts saying, "Ah, see what foolish religion this is." You know, to a king, you're going to give him a day-old bread, let alone a week-old bread. And therefore, he starts cursing out God. Jews don't know what to do with him. And eventually Hashem says that he has to be punished, he has to be killed. So, there's Naim Latorah, the Lutzker Rav, Rav Sarutskin, gives an interpretation as to what's the message for us over here. He says, so, the fellow, obviously, What was the cause of his downfall? The cause of his downfall was that God had created a situation in his life that was extremely challenging. He had been raised as an Orthodox Jew his whole life, and he thought he was a rank and file Jew. And imagine you wake up one day and you find out you're Jewish, but you're second class Jew. Because your father's an Egyptian, and specifically in that period of time, it had severe consequences, primarily being you don't have a portion of the land of Israel. Now, that doesn't bode well for your future. Now, again, at that point in time, the Jews did not know that they were going to wander the desert for 40 years. So, therefore, he figures, you know, they're going to go to Israel very soon, and very soon they're going to go. He's not going to get a piece of land. And I imagine at the age that he was, I don't know about all the details, if he was married and has kids, there's a very little future for his whole family, to take care of his family. And aside from the fact that he realizes he's a second class Jew in general, you know, it's not the greatest, no, your father was an Egyptian taskmaster who Moshe killed. It's not exactly a great lineage to have. And now who he thought his father wasn't his father. But anyway, so he's got no future. So what should have been the proper response of such a Jew? Hashem gives you a difficult situation in life. Say, that's the situation he gave me. Right now, I have manna. Right now, okay, I won't be with the tribe of Dan. All right, he'll be with the Erev Rav. He'll be with other people, the mixed multitudes. I mean, the question is, will even be outside the cloud of glory? But right now, you got food to eat and probably, you know, whatever. But what's going to be later? What's going to be later? Who knows what's going to be later? And you have Bitachon Hashem. It's a big test. It's a big test for this fellow. So what does he do? He goes out and he curses God. And, you know, he got angry, he got upset, and he curses out God. And he uses the vehicle of the Lechem upon him as the vehicle to curse out God. Right? So what?
Look who raised him.
Well, yeah, so number one, you could realize, you know, first of all, he had a mother who was a very forward woman, number one. Number two, even if, you know, and his father really was an Egyptian, so that didn't put a good blood in him either. And number three, it's either Dustin or Aviram are the ones who raised him, and these are the biggest Bali Machlokas that existed. So obviously he would grow up to be a Bali Machlokas, a man of strife. Right? So what is the lesson though of the Lechem upon him? What's the hidden message of Lechem upon him? The Lechem upon him teaches us that, you know, it really is a very strange mitzvah, the Lechem upon him. You put these showbreads on the table and you let it sit for a week. So talk is a kasha. Talk a question. What kind of business are you? You let the showbread sit there for a week and then you use it to give it to the Kohanim and that becomes their divine service, etc., etc. It's very insulting to God to use such old bread. Yeah, but what's the next part of the story? Now remember, this was the mitzvah given. But the next part of the story is when they would take out those breads a week later, there's a great miracle that happened. That those breads came out of the table 1 week later, fresh and steamy and hot, just like it was put in. Which the message being is that, you know, Hashem may ask us to go through certain circumstances in life that seem ridiculous, don't make any sense to us at all. And the answer to the question is, just wait. Just wait and see what's going to happen. And you'll see what'll happen. That's all. Just have some patience. So how are we going to survive? How are we going to survive? Don't worry. Right now, today you're not hungry. So what's going to happen tomorrow? Let God worry what's going to happen tomorrow. What are you going to do with this bread? Don't worry. Let's see what's going to happen. And the answer is Hashem does a miracle. That's all. Hashem comes up with solutions that you couldn't have thought up of. If you can imagine, you're taught this mitzvah, put the breads in, leave it there for weeks. This is crazy, we're going to have moldy bread. It's just, let God worry about it. And then what happens? On the next week, you bring out the breads and they're fresh. I guess God did a miracle. Yeah, I guess God does miracles. Let him worry about how we're going to deal with the showbreads. And every year when the Jewish people came to the Beis HaMikdash, three times a year, what would the Kohanim do? They would move out the curtain, and they let you. It was a big tourist attraction. That when they went to Yerushalayim, what do? You have to show the kids something. Wow, it's amazing, it's unbelievable. So the great tourist attraction was, imagine parents came from Tzfat and they came to Yerushalayim and said, look, kinder, come here right now. Look, the kohen's taking out the bread from a week ago. It says, but it's going to be spoiled bread. No, look what happens. And it comes out fresh bread, and the kohen would say, look how much Hashem loves you. He does such miracles for you, which are really gratuitous miracles, week after week after week, showing that Hashem says, listen, don't worry, I love you, and I'll make sure that everything will work out. You just need to have a little bit of faith in me. So that's the message of Lechem upon him. And that's what Lutzker Rebbe says. That guy would have just learned the message of the Lechem upon him. Just would listen, no matter how terrible it is, don't worry, Hashem will take care of it. It'll work out at the end. I don't know how it's going to work out, but Hashem will take care of it. And if it'll be miraculous or not, whatever, it'll work out. Hashem will take care of it. He didn't have the patience to wait for it to be taken care of. And that's always the major, major problem. And that was last week's parsha with Kerach. Kerach was the major fault of Kerach. And as you roll into, in a couple of weeks from now, the next parsha with Pinchas, you see the major difference as we learned Shabbos morning. You know, Korach was, if not the greatest Jew, potentially, of the Jewish people. He was an incredibly intelligent person, a holy person. We said last Shabbos that Korach was 130 years old. He was an elder tzaddik, an old tzaddik. You have to imagine, if Moshe was 80 and Korach was 130, I mean, Korach had 50 years more of spiritual development than Moshe had. And to say this from HaKadoshim, that although he was jealous of Aaron and all the things that was going on over there, but the tzaddikim say that Hashem was priming Korach to become, just like there's a Kohen Gadol, he was priming him to be a Levi HaGadol. There eventually was no such office, because the one person who would be possible for it didn't pan out, Korach. He would have been a Levi HaGadol. We have no idea what that means, to be a Levi HaGadol, a great Levi. But that would have been a great, great leader. In other words, it would have been a great triumvirate, Moshe, Aaron, and Korach. I mean, a triumvirate, and you can imagine, if we would have had those three great leaders, the very Klal Yisrael would have gone right into Eretz Yisrael, Mashiach would come. So Hashem was priming him for that. And as we'll see in a few weeks, we'll come to let the cat out of the bag now. But the Sfarim say that when Hashem is preparing a person for greatness, he has to lead him through a very difficult road. A very difficult. Greatness does not come on a silver platter. Greatness comes when you are tested greatly. And the greater the tzaddik you are, the greater the test is. The more potential that Hashem sees is going to come out of you, the greater the test is. So it's not a simple test. It's a test where you mamash see, as we'll use the Star Trek analogy, it's the Kobayashi Maru, where it's the no-win scenario. You just do not see a way out of this at all. Hashem says, you don't see a way out of it. I can find a way out of it in 1 second. You just need to have bitachon. Right? And as we said before, that we had two people going through the same process at the same time. You had Korach, and you had Pinchas, going through the same process. And now we see a third fellow going through the same process. Okay? So Korach says, what do you mean? Korach was overlooked in being the prince of the tribe of Levi. And he was jealous over that. He says, How could it be? I know I'm greater than this guy. I know it. And he's right. He was greater than this guy. How can I not get this job? Something doesn't make any sense. He was absolutely right. He sees prophetically that Shmuel's going to come from him. And Shmuel's greater than Moshe and Aaron. So everything is telling him, I'm greater than him. How can Hashem do this? Must be this. Moshe's doing something wrong. Hashem said Moshe's his most trusted servant. Now, of course, Korach couldn't say God's wrong, but he could say Moshe's wrong, as we've given many explanations why. He says, Moshe's wrong. So, but God said, but he's my prophet, and you have to build trust in him. He says, no, I don't trust in him. So it means you don't trust in God either. So that was Korach's fatal mistake. What would have been the solution for Korach? Just do nothing. Just wait. And things aren't, you're still a Levi. Things aren't that bad. You're still getting Meiser. You're getting 10%. Okay, it's not what you were dreaming of. You still get to carry the Aron. And he didn't die by carrying the Aron. That means he was a great side. He was a great covet. Wasn't the covet you were counting on. He's from, what a wasted life. I have so much potential to offer the Jewish people. And he did. He really did. He did. And he says, how could it be that I'm gonna continue living this way without using my great potential, which was absolutely correct. So how can Hashem do this to me? You know, the Jewish people are losing by me not being in an important position. And it's not just the ego. He's correct. 100% analysis is correct. But still Hashem says, so just shrike. Just be quiet and wait. And if it means you live the rest of your life without it, so that means that's the Ratzon Hashem. You didn't know the Ratzon Hashem was, just wait a little while longer. You're going to be the Levi HaGadol. So he didn't have patience either. And his buddies, Dasan Avirim, were the same Chevra, and that's that kid of Dasan Avirim, who's in a worse predicament than Korach is. He says, I'm not even the tribe of Dan anymore. On the other hand, you got one other sleeper in the story, which you don't realize. You have Pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen. So what do we know about Pinchas? Well, we find in a couple of weeks, when there's the terrible event with the Baal Peor, and all the Jewish men are fooling around with the Moabite and Midianite women, Korach is the one who spears the prince, the Jewish prince who's with the other woman. So, where is he coming from? where's Pinchas coming from? And Hashem rewards him and this and that and everything. And he becomes an eternal Kohen, etc. It's unbelievable stuff. So to appreciate the story, you got to know the background. So Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a Kohen. So what's his story? Well, if you read between the lines, you understand when they had established the office of Kohen. So how was the office started? It started with Aaron. And Hashem says, Aaron, and who are your four sons? Right? Elazar, Isam, or none of them of you. Your four sons will be Kohanim. And any children that they will give birth to after I've anointed them Kohanim, their children will be Kohanim. Okay, that's amazing. What about any children that already are born? That have not been designated as Kohanim? Are not going to be Kohanim. And one of them happened to be Pinchas, ben Elazar, ben Aaron HaKohen. So Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen, he's watching this whole ceremony. He sees how Aaron is a Kohen, Elazar is a Kohen, and Pinchas, we're ignoring you. So now let's figure, if you're a Kohen, if you're the son of a Kohen but not a Kohen, what future do you have? What future do you have? Now, if you're a Kohen, the son of a Kohen, you have a great future. You're going to work in the Beis HaMikdash. You get all the 24 gifts that a Kohen gives. Get all these amazing things. Right? Now, if you're the son of a Kohen who's not a Kohen, that's an anomaly. But that's what Hashem created. He created an anomaly. You're the son of a Kohen and you're not a Kohen. Well, you're going to get a tribal portion. No, Kohen don't get a tribal portion. Is he a Levi? I don't even know if he's a Levi because they were separated out from the Levim. So a tenth he doesn't get. The gifts of a Kohen he doesn't get. What kind of future is he going to get? He's got no tribal portion. He has mamish no future. Pinchas would have what to be upset about. And Pinchas was no slouch himself. Pinchas hu Eliyahu. Pinchas is Elijah the prophet. So he would have what to complain about. But you see, what you don't see in the story screams louder than what you do see. Right? And he didn't say anything. He said, if that's the will of Hashem, then that's the will of Hashem. What's going to be? Where are you going to be? I don't know. But that's the road that Hashem has led for me. So then Hashem says, good for you. It's going to come a time I'm going to need you, and it's not going to take too long. You'll find out. Now, you may have to wait. It'll wait from, this was in Nisan, so it'll wait all the way. As a matter of fact, how long did Pinchas wait? How long did Pinchas wait? He waited 39 years. Because that story that happens in a few weeks, there's a gap of 39 years. 39 years he has to stew on this idea of what's going to be with me when we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. What's going to be? And I'm sure, I imagine Pinchas had children. What's going to be with my family? What's going to be with this? 39 years. And every day he gets up and does his devoted service to God, puts on tefillin every day, goes to shul every day, learns Torah every day. I have no future. When this month stops, I have no future. I don't know what's going to be. I have to have bitachon Hashem. And all of a sudden comes the story with this terrible event where the Jewish men are getting into all kinds of mischief and a great plague is going and 24,000 people are dying and the plague isn't going to stop. And there's nobody in a position to stop this because everybody is a leader. Who could stop it is a leader, so everyone's going to say they have an axe to grind. Moshe couldn't respond. Aaron couldn't. Nobody could respond. So the only person who could respond is somebody who the system did not treat fairly. Because anybody who would step up to fight and say, hey, you're part of the establishment. I'm not going to respect what you have to say. Moshe, you have an axe to grind. Elazar, Isamar, Aaron, you guys are all, Aaron's not around anymore. You guys, you work for God. So of course you're gonna want to kill these people. But Pinchas, everybody knew he was ignored. He was spurned by God. He didn't have an axe to grind. And he would be the only one who could kill the perpetrators. And even then it wasn't so easy, but at least people could respect it. And after he did that, and that's when Hashem was preparing Pinchas for greatness. That was the greatness he was praying for. Pinchas had no idea, could never dream that Hashem was planning that. It would come through Jews doing a terrible Avera, and he would have to be the one to show zealousness for Hashem. You see what kind of true zealot he was, because he had plenty of time to be zealot for himself, and he wasn't. So Hashem says, good for you, you waited. Now, I make a covenant with you, you will be an eternal Kohen. You'll be a Kohen forever, and not only that, he really lived forever, because Pinchas became Eliyahu, and he was a great leader. We know Eliyahu Novi, Leo's going to bring the Mashiach. Who brings the Mashiach? Somebody who has a lot of bitachon in Hashem. Someone's a lot of bitachon in Hashem. So that you see that from Pinchas. But what do you see from Korach? And what do you see from this fellow who cursed out God? You don't have any patience. That's what it's all about. That's the message of the Lechem upon him. You want to know what's the point of this mitzvah? Why is God doing such a crazy thing? Okay, I understand you put bread there. It's symbolic of good parnasa. It's on the shulchan, good parnasa. What are you letting it sit around for a week? He says, you know, sometimes, you know, parnasa is the hardest nisayon in life. Of all the nisyonos in life, the hardest nisayon is parnasa. That's one of the 10 questions on the final exam. Did you do your business honestly? Faithfully? Right? Why? Because there's a lot of good excuses to cheat in business. Very good, legitimate excuses. If I don't cheat in business, I will die. I will die. If I don't make a parnasa, who's going to make it happen for me? Hashem says, you know, sometimes you have big opportunities to cheat in business, get money in ways that Hashem doesn't want you to get the money. It's big temptations. Big temptations. Many people have fallen. If there's something called Bitach Hashem, I said the story last night in the Rambam class. The guy had to keep Shabbos. He mamash had no parnasa in America. There are Jews who gave up Shabbos for parnasa. Their mamash felt they were going to die. And it took great courage to be able to hang on. But what's the message? The message of Lechem upon him is just wait, you'll see Hashem will take care of everything no matter how bad it seems. No, okay, so now we come, so now you understand. So I come to David HaMelech. David HaMelech just got the message from the owner and said, you know, my father really wants to kill you. Right? My father really wants to kill you. And David said, what am I a shildik? What did I do? What did I do? I haven't done anything. I'm doing everything to do. I'm loyal. I'm this. I'm that. Whatever he told me to do, I risked my life for Klal Yisrael. Everything. He wants to kill me. There's no reason why he wants to kill me. So the answer is, you're right. So what I have to do? You got to run away. And we're going to see where he's going to have to run away. He has to leave Eretz Yisrael, which is not a simple thing. Gemara we'll talk about later. Since David HaMelech had to leave Eretz Yisrael, it's like he had no God. Gemara learns from this: a person doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael. This person doesn't live with God. Okay, you have to know what that means, but for David HaMelech, you understand. For regular Jews, that's not so easy to understand that. Right? But David HaMelech, for David HaMelech to leave Eretz Yisrael, it means you're living without a God. Because in Eretz Yisrael, he knew what it meant to live in Eretz Yisrael. He knew what it meant to live in Eretz Yisrael. And now, because of this, he cannot hide in Eretz Yisrael anymore. He's a wanted man. So on top of it, and he never didn't do anything wrong in his life. And Shaul, for no reason, wants to kill him. We'll now make him a marked man. And what did he do? And now he's got to leave the country. He's going to leave Eretz Yisrael on top of all this? And whatever nevuah he may have had, he will now lose. Because a Navi cannot prophesize outside of Eretz Yisrael. So he has to leave Eretz Yisrael. So now he runs. So it's not just Stam that it just coincidentally he comes to the city of Nov. He comes to the city of Nov to the Kohanim. He says, I got nothing to eat. He says, all I have to give you is the lechem upon him. So you eat the lechem upon him. He gives David a reminder. And maybe this is what, you know, greater people could have fallen. I mean, he's gone through plenty in his life. We don't have to review his terrible events of his life. And now that he... So he says, eat the lechem upon him and eat the message of the lechem upon him. That although it doesn't, you don't see a solution now, Hashem will figure out a solution. And that's an important chizuk that David needs. And that's what's going on over here. So this I think is the deeper message of with the lechem upon him over here. However, in Pasuk Ches, we're introduced to another very... this seems to be a non sequitur in Pasuk Ches, but it'll come back in the future to haunt Achimelech and Shaul and everybody else. Pasuk Ches, which really has no part of the story, as you'll see in a minute. Visham, and over the... Now, while this is going on, Visham ish me'avdei Shaul, and there is a man from the servants of Shaul, by Yomahu, on this day, Ne'atzor lifnei Hashem, he held back before Hashem. And the commentaries explain, he probably went, remember this is a holy place, Nov, and this was where the Mishkan was. So he went with some friends to whatever, bring a korban, whatever, to do a little spiritual things there. And his friends leave, he says, let me stay back, I want to commune with my God. He was another great person. Ushmo Doeg Ha'adomi. And his name was Doeg the Edomite. Abir Haroim, the strong one of the shepherds. Asher L'shol, which was to Shol. This is an important person, Doeg. So the commentaries discuss, so who is this Doeg? What is this Abir Haroim? So simple, and you can say that they're both true. There's a lot of commentary on him. We're going to spend a lot of time on him tomorrow, but just to realize a little bit about who this Doeg is. So Abir Haroim, the strong one of the shepherds. So one of the Mephorshim says that he oversaw all the shepherds of the king. That's one interpretation. However, the Targum and others say he was the Rosh Bezdin. He was the head of the Bezdin. He was the head of Jewish Supreme Court. Big Talmud Chacham. Which is in conflict with being the head of the shepherds, because we know that the leaders are like your shepherds. He's an extremely big Talmud Chacham. And Doeg is over here. Doeg HaAdomi. Was he really from Edom? We'll see tomorrow. But he was there. And that's all. It doesn't say anything else. And we move on to Pasuk Tes. Vayomer David l'Achimelech. David said to Melech, V'in yeshpo tachas yod chanin sucharev. Do you maybe have a sword? Or a spear or something? Gigam char bi. Vigam kelai lo lakach tevi yadi. Because I didn't bring my sword. I didn't bring my weapons. Because God sent me on a pressing mission. I had no time to even get my tools of war. And we'll go on with the story. So what's this pasuk doing here with Doeg? First of all, they're Doeg. So we're going to see later on, Doeg is going to relay this information to Shaul HaMelech. And he's going to tell Shaul HaMelech that, you know, this Ahimelech, he was assisting public enemy number one. And therefore, you should know this. We already now know of this Doeg. He's a master. He's a Baal Lashon Hara. He's a massive Lashon Hara. This is already the third time he said Lashon Hara. He's already talked about twice about David HaMelech, ways to Shaul to get Shaul to despise David HaMelech. And now he's got great evidence against David HaMelech. Although the Malbim says, you'll see from here, that this shows you how terrible Doeg was. Because the Malbim says, clearly, he saw what was going on, and he saw that HaMelech thought, David said, I'm on a mission from the king. But he's going to turn it around. He knew exactly what the truth was. He knew that Achimelech did not know that he was public enemy number one. And he goes and tells Shaul HaMelech that he helped him. And he just, you know, left out one little piece of information that he didn't know that he was public enemy number one. And he'll come, and what will happen? The whole city of Nova is going to get killed out because of Doeg. Gets killed out. So again, as Hashem is teaching David the Melech, the message of the Lechem upon him, you got to realize, I mean, Doeg must have seen what was going on too. And he's a bigger scholar than David is. And he sees getting the Lechem upon him too. We'll have to hear what Doeg's agenda is. But he's, you know, one is picking up the message of the Lechem upon him, and one isn't. One is using this information to be future information to hurt David HaMelech, to hurt the city of Novi Rakohanim. So we'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.
General?
No, he was the Av Bezdin. He was the head of the Supreme Court. He was the biggest Talmud Chacham in the generation.